I've had a scripture on my heart, on my mind for the last week. I've been determined to try to wake up a little bit early. I'm usually bad for sleeping in late. And I got to looking at a bunch of scripture in the Bible where it talks about how they rose early to worship the Lord, or they woke up early and the voice of the Lord was on their mind, or the Word of God was on their mind. And I've been determined to get up a little early every morning and start studying the Word. It seems like during the day, as the day goes by, I don't know about you, but as the day goes by, there's so many things that can get in the way of you spending time with the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Just you by yourself with the Lord. Amen. There's so many things that can get in the way. The devil knows exactly how to help you, how to try to get you to put things off. And, amen. He tells you you have plenty of time for it later when it's bedtime. But then when you try to do your Bible study at bedtime, you find yourself nodding off, going to sleep, or you're tired from the day and how it's wore you out. So I determined, amen, to be like the people in the Bible and get up early and read the Bible. And you know what I found this week? It's made a big difference, amen. Yeah. Been able to get up and have spent some time with the Lord. And as I began to read the Bible and understand it more, and you know, it's funny how things in life are, how once you get something started, it's a whole lot easier to just keep it going, amen, to make a habit out of it, amen, to keep going for the Lord on it. But it's always that first step that's the hardest part. If we'll just make the effort it takes to get that first step over with and out of the way, it's a lot easier of a journey if we'll just do that.
Right.
I tell you what, as I was doing that this week, I've been in a book all week, the book of Genesis. Now, we're not going to turn there just yet, but just keep that in your mind. But that book has been in my mind all week, and a specific character of the Bible has been there all week, and I just can't get them out of my mind, can't shake it. So tonight we'll preach on that, the Lord being our helper. And before we get to that, I want you to turn, if you will, if you got your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 28. This being the last chapter of Matthew, he begins to tell them something before they are entered into Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of the Father. This is his commandment. As he tells them to go out and wait for him, there's some 50 days or 49 or 50 days that have to pass for Pentecost and the Feast of Pentecost to arrive. In the meantime, he tells them what they need to do here in Matthew chapter 28. Let's go down here to verse 16. We'll start there. Matthew 28:16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." I don't know about you. I don't know how you could doubt after seeing Jesus, who had just been nailed to a cross, and then after 3 days raised himself up again. How you could doubt? But you know what? People are doing it all over the world today.
Yes. Yes.
And some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power, all power." Let me say it again. All. A-L-L. There's nothing that's not in his control.
Right.
"All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Yep.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And Matthew says, "Amen." I am with you always, even until the end of the world.
Yeah.
Isn't it good to know that if this world blows up tomorrow, if that volcano over in Hawaii decides to just blow the whole face of the earth up, you know what? God would still be there with us.
Yeah.
If I had a thought tonight, my thought is with you. With you. And let's go over here to Genesis, if you will. Follow me to Genesis. Keep this in your mind. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Genesis chapter 28, if you'll be turning there. Job said that though he slay me, I will trust him. Amen. If God comes down and kills me, I'm still going to trust him.
Yeah.
Amen. Abraham was faced with a decision. Amen. To give his son up and give his son Isaac to God on the mountain over there. And as he went up, he began to talk to the lad, and the lad noticed that there was some wood, there was some
different things that he had strapped on that were taken up there. But he got to looking around and he said, Father, I see the wood. I see these different things here, but where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And he did that very thing. That day and some 2,000 years later, however long it was, the Lamb of God was slain upon Calvary's tree. Yeah. Amen. Here God was with him, though, as he went up that mountain. Every step he took, every daunting step he took, and no doubt what was going through his mind, how he was wondering how God was going to take care of this situation. Amen. He even had faith in his mind saying that if God could even raise him from the dead, he was going to fulfill that covenant that he had made with him.
Amen.
God was with him. Now let's go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Let's go to verse 10. Genesis 28, verse 10 says, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and at the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now notice this next verse. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Amen. Jacob was the one that's been on my mind for this past week. Began to think about Jacob, and the original question that came to mind was, why was it that God had blessed Jacob with this whole nation of Israel? Why did Israel come from Jacob? Why didn't he come from Abraham? Why didn't he come from Isaac? Why did it stop and start at Jacob? And as you begin to read, I'm sure you'll find the answer to that. I'm not going to go into that. There's a lot of stuff here that I've been reading I could really get deep into that's amazing to me, some of the stuff you get to reading and how God just opens your eyes to different things. That's what Brother Ronnie said this morning, how Jesus opened their eyes. But I want you to notice here, God had made him a promise here. He said, this land where you're sleeping on, right there in the middle of the land where you're sleeping, laying down your head on the rocks, this land that you're sleeping on, I'll give it to you. And to your seed, I'm the God of your fathers, your Abraham, your grandfather. I'm the God of Isaac, your father. I'm their God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you this land. And I will be with thee. I am. Notice he used that. Before he was I am, he was I am. Before I am ever happened in Exodus, he was I am.
Yeah.
Praise God for everybody in Genesis. Amen.
Right.
He's I am today. He said, I am with thee. And we'll keep thee in all the places whither thou goest. And we'll bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee till I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's a promise. I'll not leave thee until I've accomplished that I've spoken of. Let's continue reading. And Jacob waked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob, listen to this, rose up early in the morning. That's what I was talking about earlier. Rose up early in the morning.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to let the devil cheat him out of his blessing. He was going to do what God wanted to do first thing. He rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar. From pillows to pillar. And poured oil on the top of it. He anointed it. He poured oil. He sanctified it. Set it aside for something. He called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. And the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow. This vow, he vowed here, I find as I read on, it continues to thread through his life.
Yeah.
And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God.
Yeah.
You see, up to that point, he was the God of Abraham and of Isaac. It's not till later in his life that Jacob finally admits that he's my God. Up to that point, he'd been saying, the God of my fathers, the God of my fathers. When he could finally say that God was with him all the way, he said, my God. He said, if he will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Now, Jacob, we go through his life here. And the more I read about this, you know, in the middle of this, in the middle of Jacob's story, Joseph suddenly appears. Joseph is one of his 12 sons. He was his, I believe, 11th son. One of the final two sons of his wife, Rachel, at the time. And Joseph was his favorite. He showed favoritism to Joseph. Joseph had made him a coat of many colors we know about. And it was one of the sons of Rachel before she died, the very last being Benjamin. And we find that Joseph here kind of interrupts Jacob's story. But all through that, from here until the end of Genesis, I believe that it's not Joseph's story, it's still Jacob's story.
Yeah.
It's still him waiting for God to prove himself, for God to be faithful to him.
Yeah.
We find, amen, as he goes on through this life, do my best here to preach what God has given me. And if you want to, you can follow along and do the best I can. But as we go on, move through the Bible, we go on a little swiftly here. We find a little bit more about Jacob's life. He gets up from here. The whole thing was he was on a trip to pay down Aaron, I believe is what it's called. Amen. To be able to meet a wife of the original people that they, amen, wanted to go to. Abraham or Isaac called him in the very first of this and told him not to take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Told him to go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, take a wife from thee, from there, from the brother of his mother, Rebekah. That would be later. As we continue going on, we find that Jacob is getting into all kinds of trouble. Now, before this, we know that Jacob, amen, was one of the twins that was born to Rebekah and Isaac. And we know that Jacob, amen, was coming out of the womb last, but he got grabbed a hold of Esau's heel and he pulled him back and Jacob came out first. Amen. And he, in effect, became the firstborn. And as it goes on through that, it talks about how Esau was in the field, amen. He was hunting, he was coming out of there. And we find that Jacob there sawed pottage. He was boiling and seething some pottage and some porridge there, you might want to call it. Amen. And Esau was hungry until death, he said. He said, give me a little bit of that pottage there. And Jacob said, well, if you sell me your birthright, you can have something to eat. That's a high price to pay.
Yeah.
High price to pay. And Esau said within himself something along the lines of, well, what good is it going to do me to have this birthright if I perish? So he sold his birthright under a word contract. Basically, it was good. His word was good for it.
Yeah.
And later on, we find that Jacob deceived his father Isaac so that he would be blessed rather than Esau. He would have that firstborn right. Amen. And we find out that he finally sends him to the brother of Rebekah, his mother there, his uncle Laban.
Yeah.
Amen. And all through this time, he finds the wife before he even starts working for Laban. Rachel comes out and gets ready to water the sheep. Amen. To take care of the sheep. And Jacob recognizes who she is. Yeah. And he went over to her and he began weeping. Amen.
Yeah.
Because he had finally found who God had gave to him. Amen. As a wife.
Yeah.
And he served Laban. He said, what's your wages going to be? What would you charge me, amen, for having this wife? What do you want me to do for you?
Yeah.
He said, you'll serve me 7 years in exchange for Rachel.
Right.
We all know the story. 7 years, it said it seemed, but a little time.
because of the love that Jacob had for Rachel. We find, amen, that Leah was given to Jacob instead of Rachel. Amen, because he talked about the custom of the firstborn again. Yeah. The trick he played on Esau came back to bite him.
Yeah.
He began to sow what he had reaped.
Yeah.
Amen, all through Jacob's life we find this kind of evidence here of reaping and sowing. Amen, but then he served Laban another 7 years.
Amen.
14 years he served for one woman.
Yeah.
He got Leah first, then Rachel came along.
Yeah.
He had two wives instead of one. Polygamy started happening in the family. And for those many years, we find that the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of, as he later became known, Israel, was born to both of them women, and also to two more concubines. Four women involved in this whole thing. Jacob had to deal with four women, and it caused him much family trouble from all his days from that. But as he continued to go on, he found more evidence that God was with him. Amen. The whole time that he was going through this, God was with him. And he was about ready to go leave Laban and decide to make a life of himself. He had made a lot of fortune in Laban's hire. He had many cattle, many different things of land, and no doubt many much money. And it come time for him to leave, and Laban begged him to stay. And he said, "What? I want you to stay. I'm gaining much by you being here." Mm-hmm. And he says, "You know what? I'll serve you 6 years for the cattle. And I don't want your best cattle. I don't want your best goats. I just want those that are kind of spotted and what he called ring straight. They got something wrong with them. You know, I'm glad God wants somebody. Amen. It's got a little bit of something wrong with them. Amen. He don't want the perfect out there."
Right.
He said, amen, that the doctor come not to heal those that are not need a physician, but to come and heal the sick, amen.
Right.
And God is looking for a few of those out there that the earth thinks nothing's, that they don't care nothing about, amen.
Yeah.
Jacob said, "I just want the little poor ones."
Yeah.
We find later on he begins to build up. He begins to kind of trick Laban again. He's in that little old habit of being deceptive a little bit. And he finally decides it's time to get out. He said in chapter 31 of Genesis, he heard the word of Laban's son saying, "Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's he hath gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before." You ever live with somebody a long time, and all of a sudden out of the blue one day, they don't look at you like they used to? There's something about them. You can tell that there's some conflict there. Something changed in that relationship. That's what he's saying here. His countenance was not the same toward him as it was before. "And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers." You're over here in Padan Aram, which is a land in Syria, by the way. He says, "Go back. Return to the land of thy fathers. Go back to Canaan. Go back to Bethel. And to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." I'll be with thee. Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field unto his flock and said to them, "I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I had served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." And it goes on down a little bit further, and we find that they finally decide to go on out of Padan Aram to journey back to the land of Jacob's fathers. And Laban hears about this, and he goes chasing after him. He didn't want to lose him. He didn't want to lose the profit that he had gained by them, so he goes chasing after him. And in the middle of that journey, Laban hears a word from the Lord telling him not to speak good or evil to Jacob. Why? Because God was with him. God was with him. And they ended up making a covenant. Jacob finally faced him down. He said, "Thus I've been with thee 20 years in thy house, and served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac have been with me. Surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight." When he had told Laban not to speak an ill word or a good word to Jacob, God was with him.
on that journey.
Amen.
A little past this, we find later on that Jacob is about to go meet, hear of, and meet his brother Esau that he hadn't seen for at least 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He said he'd been in Laban's house for 20 years, so it's at least 20 years since Jacob had saw Esau.
Yeah.
And he thought, I'll send Esau a gift. I'll send Esau a gift. And he sent some messengers out there and told him to give him this gift. And the messengers came back and they told him basically, Esau comes and he's coming to meet you. But he's got 400 men with him. And it said here, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Why was he afraid and distressed? Because if we go back to the chapter before I started, we hear about Jacob getting the blessing from his father Isaac that was supposed to go to Esau. And Esau had something in his heart that wasn't really good and kind. It said in Genesis 27:41, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, and then I will slay my brother Jacob. Rebekah heard about it, and that's what began Jacob's journey to go find a wife. Because they knew that Esau was hunting for blood. He was out for blood. The last time, 20-something years ago, Jacob thought, well, it's been a long time since I've seen my brother. Maybe all that's past. Maybe all that's okay. Sometimes you pass and catch up with you.
Yeah.
Then he found out that Esau was sending 400 men with him, and he thought, he's coming to kill me. He hasn't forgot. It's been 20-something years, maybe more. Last time I saw my brother, he wanted to kill me. And I stole his birthright. Out and out stole it. He was a thief. This is the kind of people God uses, by the way. He said, I use the weak to confound the wise.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad I'm nothing more. I'm no better than Jacob. I'm no better than Paul. I'm no better than the 12 disciples.
Yeah.
God wants to use me, amen, to do what he'd have me to do.
Yeah.
If he wanted Jerry to do it, he'd have Jerry to do it. But yeah. I can't do what Jerry needs to do, and Jerry can't do my part.
Yeah, right.
We all have our part. Moses thought, Lord, I can't speak to them people. I stutter. I don't have a good tongue. God sent him down there with Aaron.
Yeah.
And before too long, we find out that Moses could speak pretty well for himself.
Right.
When the Spirit of God got upon him,
yeah,
and he had some words for old Pharaoh down there. But Jacob here, he began to get afraid, very afraid, of his brother Esau. And that's when we hear about Jacob struggling and wrestling with the angel of the Lord.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because of this, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, because he had such a desire that God would bless him. Yes, God was with him, but he wanted God to bless him more than he ever had and spare his life. You know what he's afraid of? It wasn't just his life. Think about this. He told God in Genesis 32:9, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return to thy country and thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown to thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children.
Amen.
Why is that? And thou said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. The promise lay, it was out of his hand. Now, the promise lay in the children. The promise was in the 12 tribes of Israel going out and fulfilling God's covenant with Abraham to bless the whole world, and the seed of David that would come later on that we talked about this morning, Jesus coming down from this whole thing right here. It hinged on this. And he said, Esau's going to come and kill them all.
Yeah.
So he wrestled with an angel all night long until the breaking of the day. It said in verse 24 of Genesis 32, and there, Jacob was left alone, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. He sent his family on and he stayed behind. He was going to seek God. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's the angel, he touched the hollow of his, Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He didn't back down. He kept holding on. The hollow of his thigh broke open. Hollow of his thigh, amen, the sinew, amen, it said it shrank.
Yeah.
If we look down here, we keep reading. It said, and he said, let me go. The angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. I wonder if that's because God wasn't supposed to see anybody face to face and live. It was night. He probably couldn't get a good glimpse of him. The day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and men and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. He said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He had a limp now. Jacob did. There was evidence that he had been with God. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now we see Jacob was there. He wrestled with this angel because he was trying to prove to God. God kept saying, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
I won't leave you. Amen.
Amen.
He trusted God to be with him and to preserve him. He didn't go out of Laban's with all kinds of armies and all kinds of weaponry and things like that. He was not a man of war.
Yeah.
He was a smart and sly businessman, but that don't help you when the battle comes on. He trusted God to help him and deliver him from Esau. And when it all turned out, Esau, they received each other with gladness. They bid each other goodbye and they went their separate ways, and nobody got harmed out of the whole thing. God was there and he was able to mend up that rift that was caused all those many years ago. And on and on and on. We could go here all night where it talks about God being with Jacob. Jacob was told to go, arise and go to Bethel. And he said, I'll make an altar there unto God who hath answered me this day in my distress and was with me in the day which I went. Told his house to put all the false gods behind him.
Amen.
Say, pack your bags. We're going back to where God is. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going back to the house of God. Bethel, the house of God. Then we hear about Joseph. And so many pages we hear about Joseph and how that he was down in Egypt. But I want you to notice something. He begins to talk to Jacob again. And begins to talk about Jacob and how he was there all the whole time. Jacob and them, the Israelites, they were in, the dire straits. I don't remember exactly where they were, if they were in Bethel or in Canaan. But something happened. There was a famine on the land. And they had to go to Egypt, amen, to be provided for. And out of Jacob's loins, Jacob's own loins, and out of Rachel's, the very one that saved the whole nation was somebody that was born from him.
Yeah.
That was Joseph, who had been sold into slavery by his brothers.
Yeah.
The thing, basically, that he had done to his brother now had been done to one of his sons. That deception, that hatred of human life. And Jacob begins to tell all the different things about what God had done to him. And at the very end of here, before Jacob dies, he begins to gather all the sons together, the 12 tribes. And it's time to give out a blessing of his own. He begins to bless each 12 tribes, including Ephraim and Manasseh, those two that came out of Joseph. And that's when we hear about Joseph saying, you thought to mean it evil for me, but God meant to good. What's the point? God was with Jacob. He was with the sons. He was with Joseph. He was with the whole family. Why? Because it was up to God to preserve that promise. And the promise now was Jesus coming, dying, being resurrected for our sins, that we could be born again unto new life. And what did Jesus say when he begins to leave and he tells the disciples? He said, go and preach unto all living creatures, all the creatures, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Teaching them about the different things he's telling them about. And he said at the very end of that, lo, I am with you.
Amen.
All the way, even unto the end of the world.
Yeah.
You realize that God was with them. Amen. From Jacob onward, he preserved Jacob's life time and time again. Many times we're out here in the world, I believe it was
Brother Ronnie that said it this morning, we never know we're going to come close to something trying to reach out and grab us. Amen. He talked about being worthy to escape. Amen. Jacob was found worthy to escape because he trusted in God. When the things came down to where the rubber met the road, and when times got hard, Jacob knew who to call on. Amen. Because God said, I'll be with you. Amen. Jesus said, I'll be with you all the way. Even to the end of the world. God said, Jacob, I'm going to bring you back here to this land. I'm going to bring your seed back. We know that they were gone for 450-something years in Egypt. They were there for slaves. But God got them out of there, brought them through the Red Sea, got them to the Promised Land, and just as soon as they crossed the Jordan with Joshua, they went to the city of Jericho, destroyed that, and they made Canaan their home, the place that God had originated them to be and settle down. Where we hear about all the wars going on, fighting for land. I don't care anybody who says that land is Israel's, amen. Because that's what God said in the very beginning here. He set it all up. And He holds the deed. We sung that song, I hold a clear title to a mansion. God holds a clear title who that land belongs to. And then later on He says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Amen. I believe I've given you what God has given me today. I hope today that you realize that God is with you. He was with Jacob all through his life. All the stuff that we deal with, Jacob was human just like the rest of us. He dealt with good times. He had bad times. He had family trouble. Who of us here does not have all of that?
Yeah.
Is not God as faithful to us as what He was to Jacob?
Amen.
Can we not trust God to be as faithful with us and to deal with us as favorably as He did with Jacob?
Amen.
God says to us, each and every one today, and I'll close with this, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Yeah.
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you even all the way. Even unto the valley of the shadow of death, God will be with us. David in the 139th Psalm talks about wherever he goes, God's there. He can't go anywhere that God's not already there.
Amen. Right.
He can't go anywhere that God's presence cannot follow and cannot already be there. He said, even if I make my bed in hell, in the grave, there you are, Lord. I can't escape you. People try to run all the time from God. They try to run from their sins. They'll turn 180 degrees back from the altar to go out the door, not realizing that God knows where they're at. He can find them and bring them back in. Amen. That's why we need to keep praying for loved ones. That's why we need to keep praying for revival and for ministers of God and for seniors, those that go out and preach the gospel through song and preach the gospel through preaching. It's because God is wanting to go with them.
Yeah.
God wants to bring as many as He can back into the fold.
Amen.
Especially now because the time is running short.
Yeah. Amen.
The devil knows he has but a short time. I don't know about you. These past few years, I have felt the devil just fighting like a mad dog.
Amen.
Amen. Just clamping down and not wanting to let go. Why is that? Because his time is short.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to realize that we need to just fight right back.
Yeah.
Put on the whole armor of God. It's been resting on the wall too long, David said. Take the armor down off the wall, polish it up, put it on, and go out there and fight the good fight of faith, Paul said.
Yep.
Why? Because we're more than conquerors.
Yep.
Because God, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is with us today.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. Ask Melissa to come, if she will. Play a song on the piano. No more than about two verses. I hope this message has been an encouragement to you. Amen. I don't want to beat and bang on you. I want to encourage you and lift you up. The Bible talks about edifying one another and building one another up.
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit of the Lord. I mean, it doesn't do me any good if I go to a church that I'm a member of. We're members of one another, the family. It doesn't do me a bit of good if I start beating on my own arm, slapping my own face.
Yeah.
That's what you people are. We're all part of one another.
Right.
We should build one another up. I like what Sister Colette said today about coming close together like a family, a close knit.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, a threefold cord is not easily broken. The more strands we have together, the more we stay together for God, the less advantage the devil has over us.
If
there's anybody today that has a need, whatever the need is, I don't feel a need to pinpoint it out. You know, and God knows. This altar is open, and you have the message tonight. You have the authority upon God's word that He is with you.
Amen.
No matter where you're at, no matter where you're coming from, look what He used in Jacob. Look what He used in Paul, who was before consenting to the murder of one of God's own people, and drug many to the jails, out of churches, out of their homes. God can use a man like that. God can use every one of us. If there's a need, I'll bet you come tonight. Don't start your week without making sure that everything's all right when you're in the Lord. Amen. Turn back over, Brother Jerry.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm here. Appreciate everybody's attention. And I appreciate everybody paying attention. Amen. It's good to know that people respect the house of God enough to listen. I mean, how can you get fed except you eat?
Right.
Amen. You can't eat if you put your plate to the side. Amen.
Right.
Anybody got a testimony or something on their heart before we dismiss the service tonight?
Brother Hirsch, good to be here. I enjoyed the message tonight. You know, I found the last 45, 50 years how God, I could always see the evidence where God was with me.
Amen.
All the way.
Amen. You know, there's something else. Like I said, there's a lot of messages to be preached out of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something I noticed. That just about everywhere Jacob went, he set up a new stone. He put a new pillar there. And that was evidence. That was breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
When he looked back, he could see, look where God brought me from. Look where God... You know when he went back, when God called him back to Bethel? There that stone was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Boy, God called you some places and you say, hey, I've been there before.
Yeah.
And look how far I've come now.
Yeah.
Boy, thank God for that. Thank God for the service tonight. Anyone else? Or get cranked up again.